This is a very sacred night. And before we begin the sacred liturgy for this evening, instead of preaching to you during the Mass, this year I have decided that I want to teach you instead of preach to you. How often, year after year, those of you who come to the Paschal Vigil go through the motions of the liturgy, and yet I do not know how much you understand of the symbols that are created by our Holy Mother the Church, which are the instruments of the renewal of the event, of the mystery of the resurrection. And I want to explain to you exactly what we are doing, so that when we do it, you will be able to know, and therefore you will be able to pray better, you will be able to participate better. This is the night, the first night of the week, as we are anticipating Sunday, the night that God created the world. Many, many years ago, the people of the Old Testament observed the last day of the week, the Sabbath, Saturday, because God rested, in a manner of speaking, on that day. But because of the new dispensation, and I will explain that in a moment, because of the new dispensation, we of the New Testament, the children of the resurrection, the children of the redemption, observe this first day of the week. First of all, as I tell you, because God created the world on this day. He created the first part of the world, that is to say, he created light. Light. And it is that theme that you must always remember on this night. The theme, the symbol of light. So that is the first reason that this night is sacred, because it is the night that God created the world. The second is because this also is the very day that the Hebrew children crossed over the Red Sea when the waters parted, and they crossed over from Egypt into the Promised Land, or rather on the road to the Promised Land. It was the day of the greatest miracle that had been accorded to the children of Israel, the forefathers of the Catholic Church. And you see, that miracle was the symbol too of the passage of the people whom God loves from the place of death, Egypt, to the place of life through the waters of the Red Sea. And so we have another symbol, don't we? First we have the symbol of light, and then we have the symbol, rather the image, of water. And that is something else that you must remember all throughout these ceremonies, because it is these two symbols which become the means by which the mystery of the resurrection, the graces of that moment, are brought back to earth at this very place. And you are given a share in the grace of the resurrection, in the joy of our Lord, through these symbols of light and water. And it is with that that we pass to this third object, which we call the sacramental of the Paschal candle. What is the Paschal candle? When I go outside and I go to the table, and you are all around me, aren't you? There, I will bless what we call the new fire, the symbol of the dawn, the symbol of light, the symbol that represents the moment that our Lord created light on the first day, you see. And so in memory of that moment, the priest blesses, you see, this fire, representative of this first day. This light, you see, I told you is important. Now I'm going to tell you why. For another reason. Remember in the gospel someplace our Lord said, I am the light of the world. If anyone follows our Lord, he will have the light of life. The light that is placed on the candle from the new fire, which symbolizes day, symbolizes the source of life. That light, when it is placed on the candle, you see, represents the light of Christ, the light which is our Lord's life. It represents the presence of our blessed Savior. And so it is this very sacramental, the candle, which in a way is an extension of the Holy Eucharist. It is a symbol, not like the Holy Eucharist, of course, because the Holy Eucharist is the living presence of our Lord. But similarly, the candle is a sign of God's presence. And because the priest blesses the candle, it represents, by the blessing of the church, the presence of our blessed Savior, who rose from the dead at the stroke of midnight, who is the light of the world, the light that shines in the blackness of the night that is outside. The night is the symbol of death and of sin. And you stand for the children of Israel. You stand for the people who are in sin. And because of the light that comes from the candle, the light of Christ, the light which is the life of grace, you, when you light your candle, you receive in a certain manner an extension of the grace that comes from that candle. It's almost as if our Lord were really present, almost, because the candle is so sacred. It is so holy. And you see what is on the candle? The name of our Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, from the Book of the Apocalypse, and the incense that is placed, you see, inside the candle, the incense which is the sign and the symbol of sacrifice, the incense that is destroyed and burned up, and as it is burned up inside the candle, what happens? A pleasant odor exudes from the candle, the odor that is pleasing to God, reminiscent of our Lord's passion. And also, you see, the date is placed, too, the year, which is the symbol, you see, of all time. Our Lord says that he is the beginning and the end of all of creation, of all time. All peoples, all nations, all of history belongs to God. And any interpretation of history that is other than supernatural is false. And so you see then how sacred the candle is. It is the symbol of our Lord risen. And through the lighting of that candle, the mystery, the event, the grace of the resurrection is renewed in the world right in front of your eyes. So you see how important this beautiful ceremony is. It is through that that the resurrection relives, brought down to you again. Now, I have told you on other years, you see, I am not exhorting you very much, am I? I'm teaching you. But it is important that you learn this, because if you learn this, then I don't have to exhort you very much, do I? God's grace will do all of that, the grace that will come to you from the candle, the grace that will come to you from your faith. And you see, the sign of the lit candle is the sign also, because it is a flame of light and heat. It is also the symbol of truth, which is also found in light, the truth that is given to you in your faith. And so the symbol of the candle is also the symbol of your faith in God, your faith in the Passion, your faith, your belief that our Lord and Savior has truly risen from the dead in the flesh. Now, as I have said, I have told you on other occasions that the reason why our Lord rose from the dead is because it was the only visible sign, the only real proof that God could give to you and to me, as well as to the apostles, and to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and to Saint Mary Magdalene, that he had truly conquered sin and Satan on the cross. If there is anyone to whom you should pray on a night like this to help you to appreciate and to love the truth and the great gift of the resurrection, which is our victory over the world. It is the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was the first one that our Lord appeared to when he rose from the dead. And the second one, the second person he appeared to was Saint Mary Magdalene, one of the greatest sinners, and yet one of the women, one of the people, the disciples, who loved our Lord the most. So you see, our Lord gives himself to repentant and loving sinners. That is supposed to be you. So if you have the dispositions of Saint Mary Magdalene, why, our Lord will give to you on this night, while we are blessing the candle and during the ceremony of the Paschal Vigil, he will give to you the same gift he gave to Saint Mary Magdalene, the gift of joy and hope and confidence in his passion. Well, our Lord, you see, rose from the dead in order to prove that that which he did on the cross was really true, that he did overcome sin and the devil, because the proof of that is to overcome death. Why? Because the first result of sin is death. You and I must die because of sin. If God, or if someone, could overcome in a struggle death, then we know that he has overcome a far more invisible force, the force of the evil spirits, the force of sin. Sin is invisible, isn't it? It takes place in our souls. We cannot see it. We can only see its consequences visibly, in suffering, in pain, in death. So when our Lord has overcome that, we know he must have overcome sin. That is why St. Paul says, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, well, your faith is vain. There is no reason for you to revere and adore the cross. That is the meaning of the resurrection, isn't it? But I want to bring you one step deeper. Because if you go one step deeper, then the mystery, or better put, the ceremony of this Paschal Vigil will be much more meaningful and beautiful for you. Because the Church does not stop simply at this doctrine. Our Holy Mother, the Church, being the bride of our Lord, goes down another step. There is nothing that our Lord says or does that does not have many levels of meaning, many levels of truth. And there is a deeper level, a level that is far more profound. It is this. When our Lord rose from the dead, you know that he had a body which we call glorified. It was the same body that he had when he walked the face of the earth, but a body that was elevated, a body that was not like ours. It had more powers. It had a certain glorification about it which made people stop in awe. The apostles could not take their eyes off the face of our Lord when he had risen from the dead. Remember when our Lord soon was to ascend into heaven? The disciples on the road to Emmaus, when our Lord was walking with them, and he meant to walk away from them, and he said that, rather the disciples said the words to our Lord, because they were sad that he was leaving. They were so captivated with his appearance. Lord, don't go away. It's getting dark. We don't want to be alone. Well, you see this glorified body of our Lord. Our Lord possessed and wanted to manifest, because that was meant to be a sign of something deeper. The glorification of the body of Christ was meant to be the symbol of the overflow of sanctifying grace that he had won for us on the cross, which was, as it were, almost too great for his human soul. It extended even into his body, into his face, into his hands, into all of his countenance, into his expression, into his eyes, into all of the faculties that he had as a human, with a human nature. It was the symbol of sanctifying grace that he had won. And that, you see, is the reason why our Lord had a glorified body. That is the deeper meaning of the resurrection. It is the sign of sanctifying grace that has been given to the world in abundance, where sin has abounded. Grace has abounded even more, and we know it through the glorified body of our Savior. It is the symbol, then, the resurrection is, the symbol of sanctifying grace. And that is the reason why, on this Paschal Vigil, the priest blesses baptismal water. How do you receive sanctifying grace? I take you back to the waters of the Red Sea. You see? That is the reason why that lesson is read tonight. Those waters, just like the waters of the flood, they were the sign of death, weren't they? But also, they were the sign of life. The waters of the flood saved Noah. It was the sign of purification. The world was purified of sin by the waters of the flood. The Hebrews were cleansed by the waters of the Red Sea. They were saved from death by water. Sanctifying grace, that was all a symbol, you see, of the redemption, the symbol of the cross, the symbol of the resurrection. And how do you receive life, if not through water? And so, the priest blesses baptismal water. Do you know the ceremony of the blessing of baptismal water, as you will witness it tonight? Why, it's almost like an ordination. The candidate for ordination is the water. The bishop is like the priest. And the chant is almost exactly like the preface of ordination. And the priest imposes his hand, you see, imparting power to the water, chasing out, as it were, the influences of the evil spirit, as you read the exorcisms and this blessing. The symbol of water, which is the symbol of life. The symbol also of grace, the grace won for us by the resurrection. That is why you renew your baptismal vows. Now you begin to see why the church commands you, under pain of serious sin, to receive Holy Communion during the Easter season. Why? Simply because it is the presence of our Lord and Savior, yes, but more. It is the sign of life, the life that is given to you in the resurrection, that you may receive sanctifying grace, the greatest gift that comes to you from the Passion, the gift that overflows into the body of our Lord and extends out into the world from his pierced heart. That is all which is renewed, you see, in this Paschal Vigil, this ceremony. Why are the statues covered? Because during Lent, or during the Passion time, we are conscious only of sin. What are the saints? The saints, and especially the Blessed Virgin Mary, they are the greatest testimony to the resurrection. They are the greatest testimony to the victory of the Passion, which is seen in the resurrection. And so when Easter Sunday comes, we take the veils off the statues so that we may see the fruit of life, the life that has enlivened the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her body, the life that has enlivened the statues of Saint Joseph and all our other patrons. That is the reason why we uncover the statues, you see. All of these things now should begin to make sense to you. They should become real for you. We are not just acting out empty symbols and ceremonies. Much more, through these rubrics, through these rites, we are renewing a mystery. And more, you are being absorbed into it. You are being made a part of it. It's as if our Lord had risen from the dead right now. That very event is made present. The grace of that moment is renewed. You are made to feel happy today because of the beauty of this feast, because of what is given to you, the promise of life, the promise, you see, of sanctifying grace. Why will you rise from the dead at the end of the world? Why? Because our Lord rose from the dead. Because as his body and soul were sanctified from his Passion, so are your soul and body sanctified. And at the end of time, you see, your body will share in the fruits of the Passion, just as your soul is sharing in it now. That is all that is promised to you on this event and this night. The church, and this is the last thing, the church, in the course of a year, relives every mystery of our Lord's life, his hidden life, his public life. All of his miracles, all of the graces of those moments are brought down again through the liturgy. The church relives our Lord's passion, his death, and his resurrection each year. But in her history, the church relives it over and over again. How many times in the history of the church has the church seemed to have been crucified? And yet, through her ashes, she rises again. Look at the many persecutions of the early days of the church. Thousands, literally thousands of martyrs suffered under Nero, Diocletian, and Julian the Apostate. And during the French Revolution, the church seemed to have been smothered by the forces of Satan. There was always a struggle that was going on between the forces of our Lord in the church and the forces of the devil in the world. And how often the church seems to be destroyed, seems to be in agony and anguish, just as our Lord crucified. And yet, the church, because of this night, the promise of the resurrection, the church, as in a cyclical motion, through that flux, that inundation, as it were, of arsis and thesis, the church appears to die and then rises again and struggles and seems to die and rise. And this will happen as it relives our Lord's life, not only every year, but through her history until the end of time. She will always relive our Lord's passion. I suggest to you that at this very moment, the church appears to be dying, appears almost to be dead. She is going through what appears to be a death rattle. She is struggling. We appear to be dying. We are as if we are dead. But this night, more than any other night, this night is a promise that we will live again, that we will rise from our ashes, that while it may take our own particular little lives, that the church will rise in glory, that she will transcend, you see, all of the pains that she is going through now. We are living in a glorious moment in history. When we mark the cross on the Paschal candle, we are marking our lives. We are marking the history of the church in its passion, the passion of our Lord, as it is being relived. But more, we are being promised that the church will rise again. It will rise glorious. It will again be the salt of the earth and the light that is that candle. It will be the light of the world. Our Lord has promised it because he has risen from his own death. You see what a beautiful thing this Paschal Vigil is. It is our promise of life, the promise of grace, the promise of victory. It is our joy and our consolation. This is our faith. It is capsulized in this very moment. What a beautiful day it is. If there is only one image I have in my mind tonight, it is the image of our Lord, risen from the dead, but showing his wounds that are more brilliant than any other part of his body. That's the story of the church. The church has many wounds, but it is brilliant in her wounds. I suggest that it is in this very hour that more souls are being won. More souls are being saved for our Lord to make another jewel in his crown just at this very moment because of this moment in history. That's what I want you to understand, you see, on this night. And that is all I will tell you. But I think that is enough, because if you pray devoutly and fervently, if you make fervent acts of the will to unite yourself with these mysteries as they are renewed, I promise you. I don't have to promise you on my own word. I promise you with our Lord's pledge that that joy and consolation and peace that our Lord had when he was hanging on the cross, every bit of it will be yours tonight. It will sustain you throughout the rest of this year. That's what you can receive at this ceremony, at this Mass. So after the Gospel, all I will do is read the Epistle and Gospel to you in English, and that is all. What I have to say now will be enough for you, I hope, to help you to make this Paschal Vigil and this Mass perhaps and hopefully the best of your life up to this moment. May God bless each of you. And it is our prayer that God will give you a most blessed and joyful Easter, the promise of life, the promise of hope for your heaven, for your salvation. Let us pray for each other tonight, as we are part of our Lord's body. We are one with each other. We are close to each other. Let us be, as it were, with that spirit of unity, unity in our faith, which we know is true because of this feast. I hope we meet each other someday in heaven. I hope we will always be one, especially as we are together not only in this life, but in the life to come. That is our promise tonight. And that is what we pray for you. That is what we wish you on this night, this holy Paschal night.